So I may move it in a little bit. I am just so impressed that you actually woke up this morning and came for a 9 o'clock service. That has to be a big check mark in heaven on your behalf. You have my check mark, I'm telling you. I salute you for doing that. Beautiful gathering this morning, and the presence of the Lord is already evident. And as I came in and began to experience you folks, I also experienced the beautiful spirit that you carry within you. And that has been very encouraging. You guys have loved on us for the last 3 days that we've been in this area. And I just want to return just a little bit of that love to you this morning. I want to talk to you about my first love, which is the sing about falling in love with Jesus. That has been, for me, one of the most exciting things that I have realized in my life, that there is someone that loved me before I even knew of him. And he had extended a love invitation to me and had ushered me to walk on the most exciting journey together with him, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that's the one I want us to focus on this morning and invite in our gathering. So if we can just go very quickly before the Lord, I would like to invite him into our discussion this morning and invite his presence, anointing my words, but more importantly, that those words would find a fertile soil, that they may begin to grow into a mature, loving relationship with Jesus Christ. We can just go for a moment before the Lord and invite him to open our hearts. Father, we're just so grateful that you have extended a loving relationship towards us before we even knew about you, before we even went out there searching for you. You already found us, and you're calling us into a journey that is the most exciting, the most exhilarating path we can ever take. And Father, we're just inviting right now that your presence would be so overwhelming, and that your anointing would precede any word that's going to be spoken into your name. Lord, I'm really praying that your presence would capture our hearts, and that your Holy Spirit would begin to do things beyond words, beyond eloquence. Father, I'm just praying that you would have your way here, that the Holy Spirit would find a fertile soil where seeds can begin to grow and make a change in our lives, and a transformation life would emerge from the encounter with you this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray that. Amen. Can I ask you to open your Bibles to Psalm 139? And I'd like to read that together with you. I don't know what is your habit and how you do that. But if you have Bibles, you know, just find that. Or if not, just follow it on the screen with me. And we would be reading from verse 1 through verse 18. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And as we follow through, I just would like for you, I know David is saying all of that to the Lord, but I'd like for us to put our names in there. And instead of imagining somebody else talking to the Lord and communicating in this way, just insert yourself in that praise that David is lifting to the Lord and see yourself through the eyes of what David was discovering that God has been doing all along. Oh Lord, David says, now you say that to him. You have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord.
You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for the darkness is just as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And I'm just going to finish here. I want to talk to you about some of those thoughts that God has expressed towards me through my lifetime. And the Holy Spirit graciously allowed me to hear them. But as you're going to begin to hear my story, I want you to think of the thoughts that God thinks over you and that the Holy Spirit would like you to capture, to begin to understand, and to begin to grow in you so you can follow the path that the Lord has already ordained for you before even a single day of your life has come to pass. You will hear my story this morning. And my story is really of a very ordinary person with an extraordinary God. My story is of a natural being with a supernatural creator. And my story is of an earthly vessel with a heavenly destiny invested in it. I just want to invite you to come on that journey of my life and keep in mind that God has a heavenly destiny that has already vested in you. And as you're listening to me, I'd like for you to reflect on that destiny that He has placed in your heart. And allow the Holy Spirit to begin to stir you with the thoughts that God is thinking over you. For there, David says, more than the sand grains. There is no way I can catch them all and I can know them all. But Father, I'm inviting you, David says. I really want to know what you're thinking over me. Make me very sensitive to hear your thoughts. And may I follow your thoughts that you think over me. So I'll tell you that I don't have that. I haven't had that understanding as I was growing in a context that has been quite different from what you're familiar with. I grew up in a Christian household, but the surrounding, the environment of the country I grew up in was definitely not favorable to the faith, to say the least, in a very mild way. Okay? So the understanding of the society that I grew up in, the worldview that that society held, was that there was no ultimate authority,
There is no entity that thinks your life prior to giving you the life. Really, that society I grew up in was a very atheistic society that has its own ideology. And we were all encouraged to follow that ideology. It was a communist society. And so within that context, we had to find our own way and just kind of wiggle in and begin to follow the path that the Lord has orchestrated and ordained before the first day was ever begun. He had penned those days for myself. He had penned them for my husband. And he has penned days for you. They're already there. He has written them in heaven. And it's our calling to begin to listen to those days and begin to find the path, the very unique path that he has ordained for all of us. But really, the outcome is the same, for we carry the kingdom agenda in us. And so as I walk my few years of life, you know, I'm observing my parents. God has very graciously placed me in a Christian home, and my father had always had a keen desire to preach the word. And so I remember from a very young child being dragged to all kinds of churches, not my own necessarily, because he felt the call that he needs to be an evangelist, and went here and went there, and I heard him preach, and by the age of 7 I thought I can explain the Bible better than the next person, because I would listen to him and hear him talk about the Lord all the time. And then he'd get into those conversations and deep discussions. And but just because I knew about Jesus, that didn't mean that I knew Jesus on a personal level. So I remember as I was getting into my teenage years, God began to work in my heart to truly come to a repentance stage. Because I thought I'm definitely getting it, compared to all of my classmates that had lost it. You know, they thought there is no God. I knew there is God. They thought there is no high authority and ultimate truth. I knew there is such. But at the same time, that really didn't give me an access to that Savior that I knew about, but I didn't know personally. So I remember that period in my life where I had I became keenly aware that I have to experience personally the one I knew about. My grandmother was such a great influence in my life. I grew up with her in the household, and I remember she would tell me all of the stories about a supernatural God, that whenever they had any need in the family, they can go to that God and they can pray. And I always wondered, what did she mean by that? Because, you know, I hear all of that. I just haven't experienced that. So at the age of 14, at home, I couldn't keep it any longer, and I had to kneel down and invited the Lord to come in my heart. And believe it or not, at the age of 14, you carry such a heavy load that I felt that something tremendous was lifting off of my shoulders as I accepted Jesus as my Savior. And you know what? We all carry that heavy load. I don't care what age you are. You can be a baby that has begun to understand now your accountability to an ultimate authority, to a father that wishes to reconcile you and make you a son and bring you back to a rightful standing. And you do feel the guilt that's on you, and you need to enter into a personal relationship with the Lord. And I'm taking a little bit of time to say that, because sometimes we think that through osmosis we get a lot of things in our lives. And so the Lord just came very vividly in that room, and I was praying with my grandma at that time. And I knew that the one I have heard about for so many years, and I stood for what the whole household believed, now I knew that I have experienced that truth that I believed existed, but I didn't have a close relationship yet. So from then on,
From that point in my life, I've entered a different exposure to the Father. So I began to feel particular stirrings I began to sense strong desires in my life that I couldn't really pinpoint and put my finger on. But later on, you know how when you look at your life in hindsight, you know that the Lord has led all of your steps and He has ordained them and placed them together for His kingdom purposes and for your benefit, because He always leads us for our benefit and His kingdom purposes. So I began to really be stirred to enter this English language high school that's very exclusive and hard to get into. And I sat down and I decided I can prepare myself. One of those that just goes into whatever's the most difficult route, please show me that and I'll go there. Thinking I can. I'll try. I'll see how that's going to work. So I sat and prepared myself for about a year, and my parents looked at me and they knew that there is some potential in me there, but they didn't want me to fall from my high expectations. So they kept saying, just don't worry about it. If you don't get in it, there are other schools around. I just so knew. I was so stirred. That's the particular school I needed to go. It was a British English high school. And they taught everything in English. And when they accept you in that school, you go in at eighth grade, and they teach you 8,000 words the first year. They don't teach you anything else. It's 8,000 words in English. And so here I am. I prepared myself as much as I could. Then I understood people took tutors and lessons, and who would know? And I got in a setting where those are, kids of high society, and here I am. I couldn't even say what my dad did, because seriously, if they knew what my dad did, he was a pastor, I would be out of that school. I could not. Everybody else would brag on their parents, and I couldn't even say who they were. Here I was, struggling with English, didn't know a word of English when I entered it. And by the end of that school year, we learned 8,000 words of English. And my pastor at that time decided that I know English so well that I can interpret for any missionary that had ever come to the country. By the way, they would come through our town because we had one of the largest, really the second largest church in the country. And the Pentecostal movement, let me tell you, when you have oppression, the only thing that survives is whatever the spirit is. Okay? So we had a Pentecostal church that was about 500 people at that time. And so every missionary that had ever come through Bulgaria would end up in our congregation. And so he was so relieved to know that now there is one person that knows English and actually can interpret for those missionaries. He decided that I know 8,000 words and I can be behind the pulpit interpreting. And I remember my first experience as I got, and by the way, they came from everywhere. They were not British English speaking people. They came from Sweden, they came from Norway, they came from England, they came from Canada, they came from America, they came from everywhere, and I was expected to understand their dialect. You think I have an accent? I'd invited to interpret for them with 8,000 words, but I'm laughing at the humor that the Lord has towards us. His thoughts are amazing. He thinks over us that are just beyond our imagination. I'll tell you, I was extremely intimidated the first time I did it. The second time was easy. And I know that for some of us, when God calls us to step into a particular destiny in a particular season of our lives, we feel fairly intimidated. We haven't done that, Lord. And it stretches me beyond my capacity. How can I step in that? There is no way. Yet He makes a way where there is no way. He makes a way in the desert. Leave that to the Lord to find the way. What He has invited you to do is to only be willing
to step into the footstep He has already ordained for you. He will take care of the next footstep. Okay? So I stepped behind that pulpit, began interpreting for the first missionary, and from then on, for 5 years, I've interpreted to pretty much everybody that had ever come to the country to bless Bulgaria with their spirit, with their prayer, with their intercession for Bulgaria. And I can tell you that that was a schooling that I couldn't pay for. I couldn't go find books to read. To be able to touch the spirit of so many that devoted their lives to come and shed the light in an oppressed communist country. Just to touch the love. And then to take the journey into those countries without me leaving the country. Seriously. How blessed can somebody be? So I was exposed to different cultures from a very young age. Because God had a destiny that He was taking me on. Little that I knew. But as I look back, I can see the hand of the Lord in every detail of life. And this amazes me beyond description. I don't have fitted words to describe the path that God takes us on with the purpose of advancing His kingdom agenda. His kingdom plan just walks forward, and as long as we follow that lead of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be smack dab in the middle of His will, and then our lives would exponentially progress and mature in Him because of the obedience. And so that part of schooling in my life, I value tremendously. And as I was finishing my high school years, I had to reconsider and see, you know, where am I going? I went with English for 5 years. What are my other desires? What are my other pulls? You know, God, what are you wanting me to do? And at that time, I'm telling you, there wasn't much teaching about the destiny that needs to be pulled out of you and the kingdom purposes that you need to go after. You know, we were taught a lot of doctrinal statements, but I didn't quite know how they applied to my life. You know, I'd hear them, and they were something separated here, and moral principles here, but how do those converge and make life in me? I didn't quite know. But I do know now that what Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in me to will and to act according to His good purpose," had always walked alongside me. For it was God who at all times, without me understanding, was working to pull me towards His destiny, to pull me towards His kingdom purposes. I wasn't getting that. But I had enough sense to pray every step of the way. And then if we only have an open ear to hear, He speaks. He's no respecter of persons. He would speak personally to everybody. He spoke to those that were faithful in this book as we read it. He speaks to us, to His faithful. If we only open and want to know, then He begins to pour His thoughts over us. And we're beginning to understand and truly follow the path that He has charted for us. So, as I was trying to figure out what am I to do, I had one passion. Like my husband shared, I have a passion, I have a very strong passion for the Lord. Regardless of where I have found myself in this world and doing whatever I'm doing, I had always had a passion to serve my King in whatever capacity He calls me to serve Him. But my greatest desire was to go to a Bible college, some sort of a Bible school. Now, unfortunately, I'm in a communist Bulgaria, and they not only not have a Bible school, they actually penalize you if you're associated with a church. As a youth, we were not even allowed to be in church. By the way, we had a law like that on the books. My dad many times suffered by the authorities because he would allow those big youth rallies to happen in his church. And that church that I talked to you about, it was 500 people. My dad took over that church right when I entered high school. And I thought, he sat me down and told me the news. And I thought, "Now, Dad," I didn't express it out loud, but that's exactly what I thought, "couldn't you wait until I finish high school? Now, if they ask me who's my father, what am I going to say? My father is what, the pastor of the Pentecostal church down the road?" I had to deal with that. So, that same church, as I grew in it, my passion continued, you know, that I needed to go to a Bible school. And since there wasn't anything like that, I was praying and saying, "God, what is the next close thing to it?" You know what came to my mind was the next closest thing to it? Become a landscape architect. Go figure. God had a reason for that. He knew I was going to end up in the States and somehow I have to make a living. So yeah, I went to become a landscape architect. That's another school that only, you know, accepts like 8 girls and 8 boys every year. And it just, if there is a challenge, please throw it at me. And that just exhilarates me and I go after that challenge. So I went and I finished, this schooling. Halfway through my school, my handsome husband here comes on the scene, and I was just so determined not to get married prior to finishing college. I mean, this is stupid. I'm not prepared. Cooking really scared me terribly, and so I wasn't going to go there. And then he comes along. After the first date, we knew that that's the person I'm going to marry, and so we knew that God has ordained our lives together. So as we were dating, really a passion and prayer has been, "God, just please use us the best way you can. But we truly want to be in service for you." And I remember very sincerely calling after the Lord that we are asking him to use us in a joint capacity. Now, I appreciate you receiving my husband as well in the capacity that God has graced him. I'm looking forward to just, you know, being the presence of the Lord and looking at the expression of God through his worship capacities. He writes music. His heart is after the Lord. He has a heart of worship. And that's what captured me about him. So we began to pursue the will of the Lord for our lives, and we felt very strongly stirred that we have to come to this country. Now, that was a very interesting event because it's still communism, and you don't just drop everything and leave a communist country. First of all, it is because there will be repercussions on my parents. We grew up, as I told you, in Christian homes, and obviously my dad is a pastor. What you don't know about my husband, his grandfather was the general superintendent of the Pentecostal Assembly of God churches for 30 years. So his family is very involved in the church as well. Such families are very closely watched by the communist government. And they truly are waiting for the first opportunity to come and regress, to come and just penalize people for believing. We have been fooled on separate occasions, Michael and I, by the authorities and had to give account for our faith. But we were more concerned about our parents because when we would leave the country, my dad could very easily lose his license to preach. And that's all he has. That's all his life. By the way, he's 78 right now. And as I'm sharing with Pastor Laney my dad's itinerary, he says, "Hallelujah, I'm looking forward to such future." My dad is busy really than most pastors I know. He has since he retired at the age of 60, he decided to retire and go as a missionary among the gypsies. And at that time, he pioneered 27 churches and established 50 in the gypsies communities, and established with my sister 50 children's churches. This is after the age of 60. Now he has transitioned into again being an evangelist. So he travels every way around the country, and the younger pastors just enjoy having him over and maturing the congregations, and he goes and visits and preaches everywhere. So I get tired just hearing about his itinerary as he would rattle it off. But we had to be extremely careful with the stirring that God has placed on our hearts to leave Bulgaria. We were very stirred. We knew that this is the pull that God has on us. We knew we have to leave the country. We sat and we brainstormed. We talked for about a year prior to making that step. At the same time, we were quite concerned of how things are going to turn out for my parents. Because in a communist country, you do not do that. The government comes after you. And the repercussions are such that you would lose license or may even end up in prison. So, you know, those are not lightly to take circumstances. But wouldn't you know that the political circumstances right about 1990 would change? Do you remember what happened around that time? What happened? The wall came down in our honor. In a sense it did. In a sense, it did. We would have never left the country. We left in March of 1990. We will have never made that choice if the political circumstances didn't begin to change after the Berlin Wall fell down. And so God continued to stir again. I'm just going to quote one of my, as I told you, that's my corner verse that I just hang on as I understood what it means, the depth of what it means in my spirit. Work your salvation with fear and trembling, says Paul in Philippians 2, verse 12. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. I don't care if you understand that or not. If you are born again Christian and you have invited the Lord in your heart and the Holy Spirit is working in you, it is God who works in you to will strongly according to his will, to his purposes. So be very attentive to what he is stirring your heart to desire. Your desires are not to be looked upon with a light heart. For Paul says, with fear and trembling, consider what God is doing in your life. If you have a very strong desire, we had friends that said, you guys are crazy. You have a 9-month-old baby that you're going to take out of the country to go where? We didn't know where. We were going to Greece to pursue asylum somewhere in the world. Canada, Australia, other places, whoever would take us will go. We were so stirred to leave. Yet my mom, before we left, said, guys, if you're going to go anywhere, you need to go to the United States of America. And I thought, seriously. Greece is right across the border. By the way, Bulgaria is north of Greece, and you know it takes me about 10, 12 hours to just get from one side of Bulgaria to Thessaloniki, for example. But she has placed the seed. She prophetically spoke that over us. And when we got into Greece and we began to apply to the different countries that were still open towards immigrants from the communist camp, all doors closed. We remember Canada just closed a week prior to us applying with them, closed the door for Bulgarians. All doors closed except for the United States of America. Now go figure. It is the Lord in the detail that we know that we know that we know that is that he is personally involved with every aspect of our life. And his invitation tonight, today is for all of us,
Examine your heart and see the work of the Lord in your heart, for it is the Holy Spirit who's working in you to will. Meaning strong desire, not just a fleeting something, but it is something that is lodged there and just going. And I remember for a year we talked with Michael. You know, we have to leave Bulgaria. We were so stirred. And as we got to Greece, and all doors were closed immediately. Within the first month or so, we understood all doors are closed except for the States. We had such strong desire to come here. Not a desire because our life's going to be better. Actually, my husband thought we're just going to really be dishwashers. We're just going to stay for years washing dishes somewhere in some restaurant. It wasn't because we were looking for a better life, in a sense, or economic improvement. It was because the Lord has stirred us so strongly that we could not stay in the place where we were. I just want to ask you this morning, what is the Lord working in you? What is He stirring in your hearts that you cannot stay where you are, but you have to proceed going after His kingdom purposes? You may not be able to just grasp it all and understand where He's leading you. What I have known in 91 when we came to the United States, that this is where I would be landing, you know, in California, Maryland. Speaking to you and sharing my testimony, I would have no idea. That's okay that I didn't know. All I knew is in the moment for that season, God is stirring me to lift my foot and put it in the footstep that He has ordained for His righteous one. And this morning I want to encourage you to examine your heart. Michael, would you please come to the keyboard? I just want to tell you that my story is not easy to relate. It's going to take us a couple, 3 hours at least. And I'll be around and I'll continue to fill in the blanks. You know, I just, with very broad strokes, I painted just a little bit this morning, just so you get to know me in somewhat of a close sense of where my background came from. But my point this morning wasn't necessarily to describe it all, but was just to whet your appetite to begin to examine yourself and the stirrings that the Lord is placing in your life. For we all are earthly vessels that carry heavenly destinies. I want to remind you what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1. He talks and sets the stage and says that God has placed Jesus Christ at the right hand of God's throne. And then in chapter 2 he says what? He has placed us right there at the right hand side of God. Why did he do that? Why did he place us with Christ at the right hand side of God? Where is that? He describes it. He says above all principalities and darkness, above everything earthly, he lifts us up while we're still here, takes us from here, places us at the right hand side of God, right next to Jesus, with him, in heavenly places. Do you know why he did that? So we can all catch a heavenly perspective. Paul again says in Colossians, do not focus yourself on earthly things. Actually, he says, focus your heart. Set your hearts on heavenly things. And then set your mind on heavenly things. But it begins with the heart. We cannot grasp the heavenly perspective. We cannot go after the kingdom purposes unless we begin to set our hearts, meaning the core that I have in me, not just getting it in here. For years I thought I know it best. I didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord.
You may know of the Lord. You may know about the Lord. I'm just asking you this morning, do you know Him? And if you have entered into a relationship with Him, are you concerned with His heavenly perspective? If you know Him, He has already set you up. God has lifted you from here and has set you in heavenly realms to catch the kingdom perspective for your life. Listen a little bit to the words of God.
I surrender. Surrender my life. I'm giving it all to you.
Heavenly destinies while I still walk natural pathways on this planet. So I just want you to consider surrendering it to Him. But for those of us that have already surrendered our lives and have invited Jesus into our hearts, have been infused and baptized with the Holy Spirit, I want us to consider the stirring of the Lord this morning. I want you to begin to reflect on what the Lord has been speaking into your life. I know He speaks. I know my story is not an extraordinary story. It's an ordinary story with an extraordinary God. We all are natural beings with a supernatural creator. We're all earthly vessels that have His kingdom, heavenly destiny. So I'm not unique. My story is not unique. You're the unique ones. God has placed destinies in all of our lives, and He desires this morning for us to commit and surrender to His calling and to that destiny. And in conclusion of this service, I really would like to invite you to answer that call. For those of you, I don't know what's customary necessarily here, but I felt stirred to do that. As Michael will continue to sing, I Surrender, I want to invite those of you that are feeling the stirring of the Lord towards accomplishing the heavenly destiny that God has placed in your heart. I want to invite those of you that are beginning to feel that stir or have been living in that stir for a while and didn't know what to do with it. I want to invite you to come to the front and say, I surrender it all, Lord. Whatever it takes,
I'm just going to follow you.
I surrender.
And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about at all, I'm inviting you to come and lay it all before the Lord and say, I desire to feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit. I want my heart to be filled with your desires. And I'm surrendering it all. So those of you that feel they want to respond, please come to the front and make a public profession to the Lord that you want to align with His destiny for you and for your life. We can stand.
I'm giving it all to you. I surrender.